and not to be taken for granted. It's of limited duration in terms of our physical life on this earth. And while we are here, it is important to us to make good use of it. Because there's a time that will come when our labors will be over. And therefore you make sure that your labor for God is sustained, and year after year it grows from strength to strength. God, who is in heaven, wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That is his purpose. The purpose of the church is to get on with that type of work. And you know, the church, when it started in Jerusalem, it grew rapidly. The first day, 3,000 souls were baptized. Within a short time, 5,000 were members of the church. It's estimated that at its peak, the church was 50,000 strong in Jerusalem. But the church, after a while, it stopped pressing outwards. Jesus had said to his disciples, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that the gospel would preach first in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. In other words, Jesus Christ from the very beginning had a world vision for the church. Well, the church in Jerusalem started in Jerusalem and held the corner. And God, for whom the Bible says all things work together for good, for they that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. God, when the persecution by Jews against Christians got going, and Saul of Tarsus was one of the implementators of that persecution, God used that to help to spread the gospel. That's why I love to serve God. That's why I love to serve God, because you can't fight him and win. Even when they come up with something evil, he finds a way to turn it around to the advantage of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the persecution of the church in Jerusalem led to brethren going off into Samaria. In fact, the Bible says that in Acts 8 that the disciples went, but the apostles didn't go. You know, when the Christians went, but the apostles didn't go. They stayed in Jerusalem, but they went into Samaria. And that's how the gospel got there. That's how the gospel got there. And so, here we are in Jamaica. And on the 8th of April, I had my major traffic accident. Coming from church, from Wood Savannah, and driving on the bypass of Mandeville. And all of a sudden, a lady came out from a sidewalk. She coming from church too. And a head-on collision. And when that collision took place, I thought my chest was crushed. But the long ones behind me, Omari was on the seat behind also. Omari Warren was in the seat behind me also. And there was smoke. I thought the car was going to catch a light. Right? So one pulled me out, and those who were injured were rushed to the hospital. But thank God, my most severe injury was from the airbag that exploded in my chest. And the safety belt that burnt my skin. But I am here today to say there's a God in heaven. I'm here to say there's a God in heaven. And it made me realize, Gladwin, you are on Brata. You're on Brata, Gladwin. God has saved your life. And I made my vow. I said, I am going to do the right thing. I'm going to be even more earnest. In other words, the devil wanted to take my life. I said, all right, guy. All right, fine. Good shot. Good shot. But guess what? I am even more determined to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. It showed concrete mixer going down the hill. And somehow this truck with the concrete gets out of control. She's coming up on the left. Her vehicle is coming up on the left. He's going on the other side, and it just rolled over and crushed her in her car. And I said, but she wasn't doing anything wrong. She wasn't speeding. She was going up the hill on the left-hand lane, and she's dead. So therefore, every day that you live, you say, thank the Lord. Wake up and say, Lord, I give you thanks for this day. But God often uses disasters, negative, what we consider negative things like this, to speak lessons to humanity. In the book of Luke, chapter 13, God brought to the attention, Jesus Christ brought to the attention of Christians, tragic events that had taken place around them. There were present at that season some who had told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Read for me.
And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans, because they suffered such things. I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18.
Repentance doesn't stop us from dying physically. Repentance and being baptized stops us from dying spiritually.
Amen. Are those 18?
That young man in Dallas, member of the Church of Christ,
yeah,
who was shot dead by the police, was just doing his Christian thing, and he was tragically shot dead. It didn't stop him from dying physically. But it will stop you from dying spiritually. And one of the things we want to say to our visitors today, it is important to make your calling and election sure. Because oftentimes, in this passage and other times, God uses tragic events to call us and say, man, unless you repent,
you shall all likewise perish.
Look at verse 4, read on.
Are those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish.
Repentance is just vital. And it's not something we do when we become Christians and we stop doing it. It's something that we keep on doing. So when I had my accident, there are certain things. I prepared a bucket list. And the bucket list were those things I would have wished to have done if I had kicked the bucket. Meaning if I had died. When I preached that morning, just a few weeks later, I looked at someone and said, sir, you are on my bucket list. Meaning, I want to teach you the gospel. I've been thinking about it. I should have done it a long time, but now that the Lord has spared my life, you are on my hit list to obey, to teach you the gospel. In other words, if I was delinquent, I repent. And I want to know, do more for God. So Christianity is not, repentance is not what we do at the start of our conversion. And we just lay it aside. Keep on examining yourselves and keep repenting to make your calling and your election sure. That passage that brings up this statement. It's found in the book written by Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter encourages the saints to make their calling and election sure. In verse 10 of 2 Peter chapter 1, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent
to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, you will never stumble.
That's what we want to talk about today. God calls us through the gospel. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, Paul said, he called you, talking to the church in Thessalonica, he called you by my gospel. So when Paul preached to the church in Thessalonica, God was calling them through the gospel that he preached. And God calls out not by some quiet voice in the night, not by some dream or some vision. He calls you through the gospel. I want you to get that straight, because there are some people who are waiting for some voice to tell them to obey the gospel. There are some people who want God, they want God to speak to them directly by some thing in their head. Son, it's time for you to obey the gospel. Today, Jesus Christ says he wants all men to be saved. When he says men, he means men and women. Because he has appointed a day in which the entire world, men and women, are going to be judged. And you don't want to be caught on that day mourning like those nations mentioned in Revelation, when they're mourning when they hear the sound of the trumpet of Almighty God. Make your calling sure. Do something about the call of God, who's saying, believe in Jesus Christ while you can. Repent of your sins while you can. Confess his name while you can. One morning, I drove up to the door of Amarley Warren. And I was going to pick you up that morning. And a young man came up to the car. You know how all of these stories I have to tell them. This young man came up to the car. And he said, Pastor, I need someone to guide me. I need someone to talk to me, having some issues. And I really need to talk to somebody. I said, son, I'll wait till you put on your clothes and come to church. He said, no, Pastor, I can't come this week. I said, okay, come next week. So next week, I drove up to Amarley's door and I asked, where is the youth? Where's your friend? Well, I'm saying I have something to do this week. So the next week I came, I pick up Marley. So where is he? He said, busy. A few weeks later, Marley said to me, Brother Kiddo, the same young man who said to me, he busy, he was shot dead yesterday. He was shot dead yesterday in a store around the corner. Make your calling and election sure. When God calls you, answer that call. Don't wait. When he knocks at the door, as he did at the door of the people of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, behold, he stands at the door and he knocks. He knocks at your door and he will not kick down your door. He's not going to be one who forces you to obey the gospel. He doesn't want you to force you to serve him. He wants you to do it voluntarily. And when you make your calling sure, and you decide to become a Christian, you are now elected. So when he says make your calling, your call through the gospel, when you obey, you are now elected. And you are elected not because at birth God chose some people to be saved and some people to be lost. At birth, the statement of God rings clearly. He wants all men to be saved. So if salvation was left up only to God, everybody would be going to heaven. But your election is by grace. Are you saved through faith? So here's God's grace. It's available to all men. But that is not, that's just half of the salvation plan. Your faith must come along with it. Are you willing to call, to answer the call of God to obey the gospel? Because he says, make your calling and election sure. In other words, tie it down. Make it firm. Make up your mind no matter what, and not leaving the church. Make up your mind, it doesn't matter who wants to leave. I am not leaving. It doesn't matter. I will be the last one to close the door, but I'm not leaving. Make up your mind. I ask people this question all the time. The year you were baptized, how many persons from that year are still in the church? Well, the year I was baptized, boys, a few, either, just a few. Just a few. But if it's just a few, the Lord said, many are called, but what? Few are chosen. So some people would leave, but you make sure. You're calling an election. Make it sure. But look at the text. Look at the text. In this passage in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, in making your calling an election sure, he starts off in verse 5 and he says, but also for this very reason, giving all
diligence.
Stop there. What is diligence? When we speak of diligence, we're talking about conscientiousness, persistence, focus, carefulness in what you're doing. The Lord says about everything we do. Here's what he says. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. If you are a student, be a diligent, conscientious student. If you got to GSAT and you're now in grade 7, don't pat yourself on the shoulder and say, oh man, I have achieved something and now I am in grade 7. I can take my foot off the pedal. No! It's now you must put your foot on the pedal and really start to work. Because the Lord has called us to be diligent as students. Put in your 2-3 hours working tonight as high school students. Whichever level you are, put in the work. Because hard work pays off. It pays off. Be diligent. Everything. What if you're doing the work for the Lord? If best practices work in the outside world, let your practices be best in the kingdom. In other words, don't give the secular world your best of your intelligence, of your time, of your thoughtfulness, of your preparation, and then you come to serve in the Lord's church and you just slap dash it down without any preparation. If you're down to lead in any aspect of worship, be diligent. Think about what you're going to do before you get up here. If you're going to teach a class, you think about it. If you're going to preach, you think about it. In other words, you prepare Because God requires diligence. You can't imagine that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God spent thousands of years preparing for the coming of Christ. The coming of Christ and his death on the cross was not something that as God thought of. It had been worked on from before the creation of the world. God had a plan for the coming of the church. So be diligent. Give the Lord your best. Whether at home, at work, in the kingdom overall, be someone who people can say, excellent. Always does good work. Pay attention to detail. I was a high school student, teacher. Taught at Kingston College. And, you know, I was first in and last out. Yeah, that's how I used to work. I used to reach school, call in 7 and leave late. And after a few years, I said to myself, what if I gave the same amount of passion and energy that I'm giving to teaching? I wonder what would happen if I gave it to preaching. I asked myself that question. So, anyone who looks at Brother Kidwell and says, boy, I worked too hard, I'm doing this, man. I was teaching, I was working hard. And I made up my mind, well, I'm going to drop the same amount of energy into the Lord's work. And I said, well, I wonder what would happen. And I said, well, we have made some progress. But be diligent. Number two, in calling, make your calling and election sure. You say, add to it your faith. You know, faith is at the foundation and everything. What you believe affects what you do. What you believe affects what you do. Faith is based upon the word. So faith comes by hearing. We walk by faith, not by walking by belief, not mere belief. We walk by faith because our faith is informed by the word of God. That's how we walk by faith. So I know it as a fact. I am 68 this year. And I know it as a fact that you should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, you take care of the Lord's business, and he takes care of yours. But when I was 20, I read about it. I saw the passage. And I said, I'm walking by faith and I'm going to do it. This is where I put the Lord's business first in my life. Yeah, I'm going to put it first. But now I'm 68. And I proved it. Because I have seen it work time and time again, but I'm still doing it because I believe what God has said. Whatever is your endeavor, when it comes time for the Lord's worship, stop what you're doing and get on with it. No job is as important. No studies as important. You just, when it comes time for the Lord's business, stop what you're doing and do it. You know, our doctor brother is here. He's here tonight, this morning, and I can remember him doing the JSP extension program. The young man started it when he started medical school, and I said, "But you're going to medical school." She's all right, brother kid, I'm cool. Right? So he comes here that Tuesday, right? Attending the JSB class 69, and then say, brother kid, I need a lift. And I take him to university, to the dorm. And he goes study. So all his friends said, oh, you're an idiot. What do you mean you're at medical school? You can't be doing something like that. All those people who said he's an idiot, he do better than them. living testimony, man. Living testimony. So I want you to be the preaching doctor. But you have to have faith to do that sort of thing. You have to believe that somehow, by the providence of God, He's working behind the scenes and He's going to make His promises come true. You have got to walk by faith and not by sight. And that's the thing about Christianity. You've got to believe. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the writer says, without faith it is impossible to please God. For they that come to Him must believe that He is, and He is the rewarder of those who earnestly seek Him. You just have to accept this. Look, God is in control. You see this world that we live in right now? God made it. His laws run it physically. Every day, the sun rises in the east and it sinks in the west. We have the four seasons of the year. The laws of gravity keep working year after year in the physical realm. And nobody fights against it. But there are some people who will not accept the fact that the same way God's physical laws operate, His spiritual laws operate too. God's laws and live any way they want, but they don't do that with the physical laws. They respect the physical laws, but the spiritual laws they want to ignore. Well, men continue to reap what they sow. Our soft answer continues to turn away wrath. You must learn how to talk to people. It is still the case that if you're a thief, stop. And you must live by them by faith. Make your calling and election sure. He said, add to your faith virtue. What is virtue? Virtue is moral excellence. Where you want to do right, regardless. I will do the right thing. That is my vow. It's after my accident, that one day came and said, Gladwin, do the right thing, do the right thing, do the right thing, Gladwin. Right? You want to live your life so that whatever you do in word or deed, you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. So you do it His way and you follow His teaching. So you want to make your calling election sure? Be a virtuous person. Be a moral person. High moral standards person. Both in behavior and in speech. Everything. So people after a while at work, they know that you're a person of integrity. They know that person, or this person does the right thing. You don't let politics or friend stop you from doing what is right. Remember, the devil is a liar. The devil is a deceiver. He wants you to convince you that wrong is sometimes right, and right is sometimes wrong. Then he says, add to your virtue knowledge. Friends, when you're born, you know nothing. And as a youngster, over time, you learn. You learn from your parents. You learn from your family members. You learn from your teachers. And sadly, you learn from the media. You learn a lot of stuff. If you want to be a knowledgeable member of the church, you must treat the gaining of knowledge seriously. In the assembly, you must take notes. You must review sermons. You must study the word of God on your own, away from the assembly. Acquire books to aid you in your search and hunger for knowledge. Because knowledge is not going to come by osmosis. Well, by virtue of you being in assembly, after a while your brain, things are going to seep into your head. Without study to show yourself approved unto God, stuff will not stick in your brain. You know, the scientists have said, if you hear, say you hear this sermon, and within 24 hours, you forget 90% of it. Unless you write it down. Yeah, that's how it is. Unless you, that's why they say you must take notes in class. Let's say you go to a medical school, you're in medical school, listening to the lecturer, you got to take notes. And the reason why you take notes is that it's going to help you when you're going to try to remember what was said. So treat the matter of knowledge, of knowing, very seriously. Because the sword of the Spirit is the what? The Word of God. And the Word of God cannot guide you unless you know. It is when you know that it's going to guide you. There are some people who feel like, oh, you know, they had a hold up outside the Mona Church building one day. A young man held up the gas station right across from the church building. And he shot the owner dead. Somebody who observed the incident nearby saw what happened and pulled out his gun and shot the assailant. And there he was on the ground, fatally wounded. And you know what he did? He cried, Lord Jesus, help me! Help me, Lord! You know, there are some people who actually think that just to cry out and say, Lord, have mercy upon me, that is going to save me. It will not save you. It's too late. Obey the gospel while you can. Repent from your sins while you have breath. Because the time is going to come when you could and wouldn't. That is, you could have obeyed the gospel, but you refused through stubbornness. And then the time is going to come. You would, but you couldn't. In other words, it's too late. Too late shall be the cry. So if you know that he says, today is the day of salvation. If you know he says in James, time is given to no man. If you know he says that, therefore obey while you can. Then he said, not only do you add knowledge, but you add self-control. You know, when you first become a Christian, you probably don't have much control over your tongue, and you say what just comes to your mind. But as you grow in Christ, you learn that your words should be seasoned with salt. You learn that you should think before you speak. That you don't say everything that comes to your mind. Right? When he says season with salt, in other words, you prepare before you say them. You contemplate them before you say them. Why? Because now you are under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And he's the one who, through the word, influences what you do. So you want to learn to master your emotions. Whether it is thought, your thought process, your deeds, your speech. That time when the devil is going to put thoughts in your brain and say, do this. And you're going to respond to him like Jesus Christ responded to Satan, get thee behind me, Satan. Now he said, go away from me. I don't want to hear anything like that. In other words, you know it's wrong, so you just kick it out right away. Because now you're under the control of the master. But then he says, add to your self-control perseverance. Have you known anyone who succeeded in life without persevering? Perseverance is one of those qualities that is essential to success across the board. Across the board. I tell everybody that Usain Bolt, he was a star at 15 and 16. And then between 17, 18 and 19, he was injured. And the first time he ran at the Olympics, he came last in the 200 meters. Dead last. He was a young man who had done so well at the 400 meters. And now can you imagine running last? There are some people look at him and say, oh, you're saying you're just a flash in the pan. You're a wonder. You'll never make it to the big leagues. Well, that same Usain Bolt who is trying it at soccer today in Australia, that same Usain Bolt persisted and went on to break the 100 meters, 200 meters, and be part of the team that now owns the 4x100 meter record. But he did it that when times were bad, when things were not going his way, he simply did not give up. And the Christian walk is like that. Because there will come a time when you go through a bad patch. Maybe it's the influence of work situation, home situation, professional situation, friend situation. The devil comes from all angles. And what the devil wants you to do is to lay down arms and say, man, I've been serving God for so long and look what happened to me. I've gotten cancer. And I've been serving God and yet I end up with cancer. What is going on? Press on. Amen. Sister. Press on. Brother. Because we still serve a God of whom it is said, all things work together for good. Persistence is stick-to-itiveness. It's endurance. It's pressing on. It's not giving up in hard times, because hard times is part of the running. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. It's just part of life. If you're a young person and you think that things are just going to go well, you have your career, you think that everything's just going to go smoothly, and let me tell you something. It's just for a time that things go smoothly. When the hard time comes, put one foot in front of the other and continue serving God. Continue believing in God, because God is never without a plan. He's never I didn't know that was going to happen. What would that took me by surprise? Yeah. When God says that he repented of made man, you think that God, I didn't know that. I didn't know that every imagination man's heart was going to be evil continued. God sees, he can see into the future. He can see, he can look forward, backward, present at the same time. We disappoint God, but God is not caught. He doesn't know what to say next. God is always in control. He's always in control. He always has a plan. I just will never forget when those two mute brother and sister were converted at Bull Savannah. I never forget it. It had always been in my mind. Because the two sisters from Pastor God's who came down to Bull Savannah, they came down to help work in the campaign. And they were left stranded the first night. Well, the first morning they came, and we never got that down to Bull Savannah until about 11, 12. And they were saying, "Oh, my brother kid, where are you? We are here starving," blah, blah, blah. And I said, "It's okay, it's all right. These things happen. Here's what you do. We have a sandwich, and you go up the hill and knock some doors." So, you know, you're disappointed, you know. Things didn't start out well. But still press on with the Lord's work. The planning for this event didn't go as you had thought it out. But don't be discouraged. Persist. So they went up the hill. And by the grace of God, they came to the house of our dear sister Hyacinth and Ken Powell, two mutes who just happened at that time. It was a perfect time for them to hear the gospel. Because Ken had just lost his only daughter, and his heart was broken. And somehow that loss of that daughter sourced up his heart that he wanted to listen to the gospel. So those ladies, I say, bless you, sisters. But it shows you that God is never caught napping. He always has a plan. He's never caught with an empty head. He's always working out something good for us. He's a goodwill God. Always working on something good. So persist. Even when you found yourself in the wrong and you have done something wrong, pull yourself together, brush yourself off, repent of your sin, and keep on going. Because God is going to use that experience for your betterment. You want to go to heaven? Add to your persistent perseverance, godliness. To be like God should be your goal. To be someone who's pious. The Lord said, "Be perfect, even as the Father in heaven is perfect." Be devout, always wanting to think like God and act like God. Do things the way Jesus would do it. Just work at it. Because you want to be godly or godlike. And then in closing, add to your godliness, brotherly kindness. The affection you have for your brother and sister in the flesh, you should share that same affection in the body of Christ. You greet a brother, you hug, you shake, you pat on the shoulder, you make them feel loved. I have a dog. His name is Providence. A sister from Bull Savannah gave me the dog. I took the dog home. The next day, I tried to feed the dog, and he bit me. He gave me the most severe bite on my hand. And I said, "Dog, I am not going to bite you back." I said, "Within a short time, you're going to love me." So, of course, the dog, for weeks, he wouldn't even come near me. But, you know, feed him, call his name, reach out to him. Whenever I can get to touch him, I touch him, I show him affection. Right? I'm kind to him. Right? I don't shout. I just be very loving towards the dog. No? When I ride the dog, "Glad to see you. What are you doing?" By the way, my food. But I went back to Bulsam and I said, "I won the dog over with love." Don't underrate the power of love. Your enemies can be won by love. Your neighbors can be won by love. The husband who is not showing the right attitude can be won by love. The wife can be won by love. Strangers can be won by love. Right? Love is a weapon that will conquer the world. If you want to convert somebody, show them love. Show them that you care. Brotherly kindness, affection, just doing little things for people, saying a kind word to people, show it to people, because that is part of how you make your calling and election sure. And finally, he said, just love, agape, unconditional love towards all men. Be a loving person. You know, we buried Sister Pearl Taylor yesterday at Mona. Pearl has been a member of the church from 1974. And Brother Alfonso Grenell told this story at the funeral service, Thanksgiving service. He said, the first time I arrived as a country boy from Clarendon, Big Peace Congregation, I arrived, I worshipped, and I was sitting out front in front of the church building after church. And up comes Sister Pearl and say, what's your name? Where you from? We're glad to have you. And she engaged this total stranger in conversation. Right? In other words, she don't know him from Adam. Yet she showed him love. Of course, no wonder Brother Grenell kept on coming back to Mona. And he worked there for years before he went to begin preaching at St. Andrew. But I'm saying, that act to a stranger, you know. You don't know the person. You don't know the person. But that act impressed him. That was an act of God. You represented God. She represented God on that occasion. And God used that act, touched the young man's heart, and he kept on coming. So I want you to do what the Bible says here. You want to go to heaven? Make your calling and election sure. Tight now. The Bible says in closing in this passage, he says you must be diligent. You must have faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, bodily kindness and love. Then he goes on to say, look at this. For if these things are yours and abound, that is, you take these things and you write them on a sheet of paper and you put them on your mirror in your bathroom. If these things are in you and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, take this seriously. Christianity is not something that when you come to church, you observe the communion, you listen to the preaching, and you go home and you just live any whole way. Christianity is a way of life. It infiltrates every aspect of your life. It affects your ethics as a professional. It affects how you work. It affects how you treat your family. Everything in your life is affected by this. And so he says, be diligent in all aspects of your life. Have faith in all aspects of your life. Virtue in all aspects of your life. Be knowledgeable. Have self-control. Persevere. Be godly. Be brotherly, kind towards people. And now we say, these things continue, will neither be barren nor unfruitful. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, because he's not seeing long-term. even to blindness, and had forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Because you're cleansed from the old sin, God expects you to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He expects you to be a mature person years down the road. He doesn't expect you to be immature 10 years down the road. Expects you to be growing as a child of God. And he says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election for sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you are here today, make it your vow. I'm going to heaven. I want to go to heaven. And to go to heaven, you've got to make your calling. You're now a Christian, and let you ensure. If you are here and you're not a Christian and you want to go to heaven, you must become a Christian first. There's no backdoor entrance into the kingdom. The preacher can't preach you into the kingdom at the funeral. You've got to obey while you have the opportunity. And today, you have the opportunity. Because today, you have heard the gospel. Today, you have heard that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross. And today, you have learned how to make your calling and election sure. As we stand and sing the song of encouragement. May we all stand. Amen? Number 276. 276. Yes, sir.